Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty, week two, AFC edition of Snap Reactions. And we'll start here with the Buffalo Bills. So check out your NFC edition. Got the AFC edition here with the Bills. I think there's probably some concern for Josh Allen. I'd say that in terms of, you look at the PFF grade looks a lot more like the first 2 years than it did last year. So that's definitely one level of concern there with him. But I think, like, 5.3 yards per attempt, not great. Five big-time throws to four turnover-worthy plays, that's not great either. I mean, and you just look at it, everything's down. So I think there's probably a level of familiarity, at least with Miami as well, that you're just sort of seeing it. He got off to a slow start last year, and it really picked up sort of mid-season into the end of the season is when he really became the Supermax deal quarterback that he ultimately signed for. So I'm not super concerned right now. Listen, if I could pivot from Allen to Dak, it's a level of security I'd like, but I'm not super, super concerned about it at present. Singletary, 24 carries, 154 yards so far in the season, 6.4 yards per carry. Pretty robust there. 60 routes run, just not a ton of usage there. I think, you see Moss come in and he gets a couple touchdowns here. He's only run six routes on the season, so that's definitely a capping situation there with him. I think we basically know that Singletary is kind of the guy. And, Moss gets some of the later portion of this game against Miami's work. But ultimately, I think it's Singletary is the guy, and it's probably a capped upside situation ultimately. Wide receivers, it's pretty clear. It's Diggs, it's Sanders, it's Beasley. They've run within five routes of each other. So 87 for Diggs, 83 for Sanders, 82 for Beasley. I'll say the maybe the most striking stat so far has been 19.7 ADOT on 12 targets for Sanders. I think that's a pretty interesting one. 53 routes for Dawson Knox. He is seven targets, six receptions. That is 58 yards. And I'll say this, it's not, I don't think it's anything to necessarily write home about, but I do think that there's probably he does have outs here, I guess would be the easiest way to say it. 1.09 yards per route run, that needs to come up, but that's a improvement. And if he can sort of do that over the course of a season, he's probably going to find himself being on the tight end two, bordering tight end one type relevance there. So if you just extrapolate the stats out, I mean, we're looking almost 50 carries and, approaching 500 yards or 50 receptions and approaching 500 yards. So we'll see sort of where that ultimately falls. I think there is probably some room for growth here, especially if there's some, either a downtick or some sort of injury or something like that of the receiver position. He has room to grow there, ultimately. All right, turning to Miami. And I think with Miami, it's interesting because we're losing Tua. And listen, amongst qualifiers at the position, I think that Tua's stats aren't that dramatic in terms of being pressured. He's a little bit more pressured than the median, 31.4%. The problem is he does nothing with them. He is 1 for 7 and 30 yards on his pressures. He's turned four of them into sacks, and that is a 36.4% pressure to sack rate. That is the second worst in the league behind only Joe Burrow. So what we're seeing with these teams is we are getting very much with these younger quarterbacks, at least we're getting it looks like that the pressure is really bad, when in reality it's the quarterbacks that aren't doing anything with it, and aren't able to get rid of the ball and aren't doing that stuff, when in reality it looks bad because, hey, they're getting sacked a lot, but it's not really as bad as it looks is the bottom line number. An even better way to think about it is quarterback pressures turning into sacks, that's a quarterback problem. not an offensive line problem. A lot of the quarterback pressures are quarterback problems. And it's holding onto the ball. It's not being able to get rid of it when you're under pressure. And we're seeing that with some of these young quarterbacks. I'll be interested sort of as we look at this going along. This has basically been my and we'll talk about Burrow, but this has basically been my Mac Jones is the cheaper bet on Burrow. It's basically the same problem that we had, all these skill positions, super loaded offense, you know, throw into a ton of space in college. What does that really do to prepare you? I don't know, but I'll just take the cheaper of the guys that has done the exact same thing. And that was Mac Jones instead of Burrow and to a certain extent Tua. So I'm really interested, you know, with how this ultimately unfolds. Again, it's small sample size, but 36.4% of the pressures on Tua have turned into sacks. That's not good. Brissett, even worse. I mean, I'll say this. The Bills, AJ Epinesa of the Bills, I mean, his hit on Tua, like, brutal. I mean, just brutal. Clean, but man, it was brutal. Almost 60% of Brissett's dropbacks he was pressured on. Again, it was a lot of time to throw, though. It was approaching 2.8 seconds. That is a problem for sure. So we'll see how that ultimately unfolds. Get rid of the darn football. They're more efficient throws anyways. Stop holding on to the ball. It's a total wasteland at running back. It's 5 carries for 25 yards for Gaskin, 5 for 21 for Brown, 6 for 17 for Ahmed, 24 outs for Gaskin, 15 for Ahmed, 2 for Brown. I mean, it's just a wasteland in terms of trying to get production as of right now. Preston Williams buried 14 routes run total so far. Devontae Parker, he went 8 for 8 targets, 5 receptions, 42 yards, less than a yard per route run. Waddle, 6 for 48, and an A dot of less than a yard. So that gives you an idea what we're dealing with. But I'll say this. I think, like, positive optimism to some degree there on Waddle. So I will say that. I'm open to the idea that he is, you know, that he's on a developmental track that we like to see. Mike Gesicki, 1 inline snap. So he's essentially a wide receiver at this point. 3 for 41 on 6 targets. And so we'll be interested to see sort of what that does for him in free agency ultimately. Because I think it's going to be – he's going to have a really interesting sort of market case there. All right, turning next to the New England Patriots. And, you know, again, this is sort of the thing on Mac Jones is basically being a discount on Joe Burrow. The problem is 13.7 points per game. That is quarterback 30. Good stuff. Plus 4 in terms of CPOE. 5 big-time throws. 3 turnover-worthy plays. 6.8 yards per attempt. So not great, but okay. When you look at some of the stuff compared to him versus Cam last year, you're seeing a lot more short throws. 55% of his throws are short compared to 41 for Cam. He's actually below what Cam was in terms of yardage last year. So the only place that he's actually better than Cam is from 10 to 20 yards. I think that's actually a notable thing. It's 11.8 yards per attempt for Mac Jones there compared to 10.8 last year for Cam. So I think that's interesting when you sort of compare it. He's been pressured on 28.8% of his snaps, so 4.3 yards per attempt there, not great. 71% from a clean pocket, 7.6 yards per attempt. So that's okay. It's, you know, we want to see that number go up, and, you know, that split can be a little bit wonky year over year. So small sample sizes, but I think moderate optimism is what we'll say. 39 carries here for Harris through 2 weeks. Basically a 20 touch per game guy. There's been 9 red zone touches. 6 of them have been for Harris. So that's a good 66% clip. That's like top 12, top 13 at the position or so. He has 12 forced missed tackles, third most at the position behind Chubb and Dalvin Cook. So like to see that. And I'll say this, 34 routes run for James White. Okay, 18 for Harris. So again, it's not a total whitewashing. And I think that would have been something that we might have maybe expected, but not a total whitewashing here for White in terms of him being the guy in the passing game. So I think that's interesting. Aguilar, 70 routes so far, 69 for Myers 48 for Kendrick Bourne. So we see that progression there. I think the big one here, 48 routes run for Hunter Henry, 33 for Jonnu Smith, over 1.5 yards per route run for Henry, over 2 for Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith, 2.2 ADOT, Henry just over 9. So that you are seeing a difference in terms of their usage. And it's ultimately, it's Henry that's more more voluminous and I guess a little bit more valuable in terms of his targets altogether. But it's actually Jonnu Smith doing a little bit more with his opportunities basic on a per route basis. So I'll be interested to see how that ultimately goes. I mean, I'd feel more comfortable starting Henry in any given week just because he's going to be out there more. I think that kind of tells you what you need to know. Next up here for the New York Jets, 19 for 33 for Zach Wilson, 6.4 yards per attempt, 0 touchdowns, 4 picks against the Patriots. So Belichick does it again, no rookie quarterback. 2 big-time throws, 2 turnover-worthy plays. Pressured on 48.7% of his attempts. 7.1 yards per attempt on a clean pocket. 5.4 yards per attempt on a pressure pocket there. 0 big time throws from a clean pocket. It's actually interesting. 2 turnover worthy plays from a clean pocket. The pressure, 2 big time throws, 0 turnover worthy plays. And then you got a pick there from the pressure stuff. But I think that's an interesting thing there. He actually performed some of the trouble that he got in was actually from a clean pocket. So that's notable there. As a total split of the running back position, like maybe we're seeing a little bit more with Carter, 11 for 59, 12 for 50 for Ty Johnson. They run 15 and 14 routes respectively. You get 2 for 21 out of Carter in the passing game. Again, I feel zero confidence starting anyone. I actually cut Tevin Coleman this week, even though I thought he was going to be starting running back, just because there's no set of circumstances. I was going to put him in my lineup, and I wanted to get someone else that had a little bit more variance. I mean, that's the level that we're dealing with. 26 routes for CD. Corey Davis, he goes 5 targets, 2 receptions, 8 yards. Braxton Berrios, second most routes run there. Out of the wide receiver position, 7 for 73. And Elijah Moore actually leads the position in routes run this past week, 4 for 47. No Denzel Mims, pretty wild. When you look at the position overall for the tight end position here, through 2 weeks, 49 routes run for Tyler Kroft, 27 for Ryan Griffin. They're basically equal in terms of production. 4 for 34 for Kroft, 5 for 32 for Griffin. So neither one you're really writing home about ultimately at the position. Again, I'm going to probably wait. I want to wait a couple weeks before we do total overreaction at the position, but I'm interested in doing basically like a fuller study about the young quarterbacks here and what they have to offer so far. So I'll be interested to look at that here in the coming weeks. Turning next to the Baltimore Ravens, and we're starting to see some growth from Lamar. 8.5 yards per attempt through the passing game. Here's the problem. 2 big-time throws, 4 turnover-worthy plays, a 62.3 PFF grade. I mean, that's part of the thing that's disappointing there. We sort of need to see more from that. Clean pocket, 8.9 yards per attempt. That's actually up over a yard from last year. So there's some growth there. We'll be interested to see sort of what he can continue to do. Obviously, the big win over Kansas City. Nice to get off the snide there with the huge fourth down conversion to seal the game there over Kansas City. Decision to go for it. Obviously a correct one. It was a correct one before it was successful. And it's good to see them get rewarded for their good decisions. 22 carries for Tyson Williams so far in the season out of 43 running back carries. He is 22 for 142 and a touchdown. 3.68 yards after contact per attempt. 5 forced missed tackles. He leads the league with over 2 yards over expectation per carry. Again, there's probably something there with the Lamar Jackson angle to this in terms of that stat. And I'll be interested, you know, in maybe second, third, fourth generations of that stat. I'd be interested to see sort of how that unfolds and how they unpack that. But that's interesting. In terms of routes run, 29 so far. He's 6 targets, 5 receptions, 45 yards. So pretty healthy efficiency numbers there. 13 routes for Murray, he's blanked. 5 routes for Freeman, he is blanked as well. Lamar, 21 carries, 193 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He's an elite game-wrecking fantasy option. And I just think the question that we have is, like, does he hold up and how does he pass? Because he's certainly spectacular as a runner. Sammy Watkins, 65 routes run, leads the team north of 2 yards per route run. I mean, that's excellent. Oh, north of 3 for Marquise Brown. I saw some stat where he goes back like in the like almost the middle of last year with either a touchdown or 80 yards receiving in a game. You know, he's becoming kind of a like a poorish man's wide receiver 1. You know, in terms of like a wide receiver 2 for fantasy type, and a poor man's wide receiver 1 in the NFL type. North of 3.1 yards per route run, really excellent there. 12.2 ADOT too, so nothing really too extreme. He's actually doing, you know, typical wide receiver stuff. A little bit of a slow start here for Mark Andrews. 9 targets, 77 yards. So again, it's okay in terms of 1.24 yards per route run, but you want more. You know, it's 6.9 ADOT. You're hoping for more. I still have hope that, you know, ultimately when it comes full circle here on this season, that Andrews is the pass catcher to want there. Don't have a great feeling. You know, Murray's been okay, but I mean, it's a big difference between Tyson Williams and Murray. I will say that. More than a yard after contact, better in terms of Tyson Williams to Murray. Murray's only broken 1 tackle, and that is compared to 5 for Tyson Williams there. So there's a big difference there. Again, I'm holding Murray still, but I do think there's, like, Tyson Williams is playing very, very well. So I think that's worth noting and you know, putting a fine point on. All right, Cincinnati. And, I already mentioned the stuff about the concerns I have with Burrow and some of the efficiency stuff in the passing game. Get rid of the darn ball. 40.9% of his pressures have turned into sack. That is the worst in the league. It's 21.9% last year. So there's hope that he could get better, but it's like twice as bad as last year. It's rough. One of the stats that I've been looking for coming into the season, deep passing. 10.5% of his attempts have been deep balls. Those are over 20 yards in terms of ADOT. It was actually 11.9 last year, so down a little bit. Nothing too major. 15.3 yards per attempt on deep balls. 6.1 yards per attempt last year on deep balls. It's a notable improvement in PFF grade, although still not great. So he was at 61.5 last year, 68.6 this year. So those deep ball grades can get really up into like the 90s pretty comfortably. So the fact he's still lagging there in the 60s, have some concerns about that. We'll see how ultimately that goes. He's up a little bit in terms of grade per pressure. That's good to see. You know, it's work in progress would, I guess, be my overall statement about Burrow in terms of him as a passer to date. Jamar Chase leads them in routes, followed by Boyd, followed by Higgins. It's 61, 59, 57. So pretty close there ultimately. We're seeing the most effective play out of Chase, more than 2.54 yards per route run there. More than 2.5. It's specifically 2.54. 17.9 ADOT, so real healthy there. He's 11 targets, 7 receptions, 155 yards so far with 2 touchdowns there for Chase. So pretty valuable stuff in terms of how he's doing down the field, being the more vertical threat. You're getting Boyd in the short and intermediate stuff, 6.3 ADOT. So he's doing the short stuff, 10 receptions on 13 targets, 105. And Higgins, you're getting the intermediate. So it's kind of a layering aspect of this. 2.07 yards per route run for Higgins, 118 yards on 10 receptions, 15 targets, and 8 out of 10. So Boyd short, Higgins medium, Jamar Chase down the field. CJ Uzama, 50 routes run so far. He's 4 for 39. That's a pretty short ADOT. You kind of hope that maybe he gets a little bit of a breakout here as the season goes along. But his usage is basically, he's basically the exclusive tight end here so far. Mixon really consolidating his role. So 49 rushes to 5 for Perine, 40 routes to 9 for Perine. So really getting up there in terms of that workload that we've wanted to see. 196 on the ground so far, 9 missed tackles forced. That's a pretty good number. Again, you're lagging a little bit behind in terms of some of the passing game stuff. You're looking at like a half a yard per route run. Not great in terms of how that is, but we'll be, and that's one of the things with him. Like, everyone projected him to be a really good pass catcher coming out. That has not been true. So that has absolutely not been true when he's had the opportunity so far. We'll see. Maybe he can sort of make this a breakout year, but he has struggled as a pass catcher based on what his profile was coming out of college. Okay, turning to the Cleveland Browns, Baker Mayfield. 12th in terms of PFF grade. In terms of passing, that is 77.5. Second in terms of yards per attempt, 10.9. 49 attempts so far in the season. That's 28, so that's pretty low, but you're looking at some of the efficiency stuff. 7.8% big time throw, 7th best percentage. 4.9 turnover worthy plays. That's actually the 12th worst out of 35. So you're looking there, you're getting some high end stuff, but you're also getting some mistakes. You know, we saw that with that horrendous interception that was one of the things that caused them the game. You know, there is still some of that stuff to clean up. There's some good. There's still some bad. And ultimately, we have a question of, like, if the pie is going to be really small, how big is it going to be? We're losing Jarvis Landry here on IR. Still struggling to know when we're going to get Odell Beckham Jr. back. Lots of questions here with this offense. 8.7 yards per attempt under pressure. That's 9th best. 3rd lowest pressure rate. And he's outperforming his PFF grade when pressured as well. So I just note that. Clean pocket, 11.3 yards per attempt. That's 2nd best in the league. 86.3 PFF grade. That's 5th best. 33.9% of his attempts have come on play action. That's the 7th most. So, again, a lot of positives there. Plus 13 CPOE. That is best in the league. Nick Chubb, there's some pretty good stuff here. I think it's really wild. 26 for 178, 3 touchdowns. He leads the league in yards after contact per attempt at 4.38. He leads the league in terms of missed tackles forced at 14. Kareem Hunt, 19 for 84, 1 touchdown, 3.05 yards after contact per attempt, 6 forced missed tackles. Here's the crazy thing. 30 routes run for Hunt, 27 for Chubb. So he's basically keeping that neutral. Again, Hunt is 1.25 yards per route run, just short of 0.8 yards per route run for Chubb. So Hunt clearly outpacing Chubb there. But I think that's notable that you are getting some work there for Chubb in the receiving game a little bit more than we've seen in prior years. Obviously, we're going to be without Landry. We'll see what's up with Donovan, with Odell Beckham Jr. Donovan Peoples-Jones leads them in routes run. You wouldn't know it by his production. 48 routes run, 2 receptions, 18 yards, a pretty minuscule number of 0.38 yards per route run in 8 out of 9. Schwartz, 3 for 69, north of 2 yards per route run, but again, 34 routes. We'll see there with Higgins what his deal is. We kind of know. But north of 3 yards per route run. So I think that one's pretty interesting. Ultimately, you know, we'll probably see some more Joku, see some more Hooper. Hopefully we'll see some more development there and the health of Odell Beckham Jr. because he is looming and they absolutely 100% need him. Okay, turning to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we have Ben just isn't very good, I think, is that's the long and the short of it. I'll say, like, he's maybe better than he was last year in some aspects. He's basically better in everywhere. He's better in all facets except for the short game. I'll say that. Like, In the short game, he was actually rent 5.9 yards per attempt last year, 5.1 this year, so that's down. The one positive is like he's throwing less short balls too, so he was at north at 50% of his passes last year were short attempts. It's just short of 42% this year, but it's 5.1 yards per attempt. Like, that's a lot of a drag. Give you an idea, he's actually more effective on balls thrown behind the line of scrimmage than balls thrown from 0 to 9 yards down the field. When you look at the deeper stuff, right, it's still just dwindling in terms of deep balls. Only 11% of his balls are more than 20 yards down the field. It was 12.5% last year, and we thought that he was check down Charlie. Like, that gives you an idea it's getting worse. 11.6 yards per attempt down there, so that's actually decent, better than his 9.3 last year. Again, that's still not a good number, but you are seeing a little bit of improvement. He's thrown more balls in the intermediate, 22%, than he did last year, 15.6%, and slightly better in terms of yards per attempt, 9.3 to 8.8 last year. But ultimately, 6.7 yards per attempt just ain't going to cut it. Two big-time throws, five turnover-worthy plays. I mean, it's just pretty tough. 26 carries here for Najee Harris, 83 yards, 2.7 yards after contact per attempt, seven forced missed tackles, runs 65 routes to only one for Snell. Like, he is the definition of a three-down guy. The problem is, like, that's just not that good of a situation. Snell is basically the injury way guy. He's really the only guy seeing any activity, but seeing virtually none. This is the Najee Harris show. 77 routes for Juju Smith-Schuster so far. Deontay Johnson, 70. 60 for Chase Claypool. I mean, I guess the best way to say this is Deontay Johnson, 2.01 yards per route run. He's basically the intermediate. If we were sort of going to go back to the Boyd, Higgins, Chase role, and Cincy, it is Juju running the Boyd route. You know, 4.6 A dot, real short there. It is Deontay Johnson doing the Higgins role, and it is Chase Claypool running the Jamar Chase routes. So, like a before and after, Jamar Chase Claypool. You know, we'll see. Like, I'd love to see you get a rushing touchdown from Juju, so it's kind of, you know, that saves you and stuff, but you're kind of going to need that. It's a little bit like what happened with Claypool last year. So, you know, we're still watching sort of the, I don't think we're going to get like a full Freiermuth breakout unless there's like some reason for an extended absence out of Eric Ebron. Okay, turning next to the Houston Texans, and, you know, listen, Tyrod on IR, real disappointing there. You know, if you can IR stash him, I think you probably do it. Like, I'd probably still hold on to him. It's a hamstring thing. It's probably not going to be super long, I don't think, in terms of his recovery. You know, we're looking 3 weeks. I'd probably still hold him unless it's, you know, I'm holding him in safe leagues, for example. And listen, he'll be back hopefully in time before the bye starts setting in. So that's kind of my thought process on that. 9.5 yards per attempt, really good. Three touchdowns, three big-time throws, one turnover-worthy play, no interceptions so far. It's a 20-carry-per-game role for Ingram, but very little passing stuff. He's at negative yards per route run. Phillip Lindsay is one of the worst runners in the league in terms of yards per yards after contact per attempt. So that is Ingram there for negative 0.2. It is negative 1.45 for Lindsay. So that's just a disaster there. It's really bad. We're basically seeing DJ doing a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff's in the passing game. He's 9 for 35 on the ground. We'll have to see how this Davis Mills offense looks. I just keep thinking about, like, Brandon Cooks, and, you know, he's like, he sees, like, a new quarterback, and he's like, you know, what is your name? It doesn't matter what your name is. Like, I'm still going to go for a top 20 season. Like, just keep throwing me the damn ball. 21 targets so far, 14 receptions, 210. One touchdown, 3.23 yards per route run, 14.3 ADOT. I love that guy. It's just awesome. I'm not sure I'm totally convinced that this is the week to play him. Short week, rookie quarterback who's probably not any good. like I have other options and I might explore them in a couple of leagues, but like, listen, I think he's probably still a top 30 guy just on targets alone. 9 of Mills' 18 throws were to Brandon Cooks. So gives you an idea, like just force feed him. Nico Collins on IR as well. So just all of the targets. Akins is one reception, 4 targets, 17 yards so far. For week 2, it was 17 routes for Akins, 12 for Pharaoh Brown. So that pipe dream probably gone here for the nearest future, with Pharaoh Brown potentially being a guy that we were hoping was going to be like a safe league savior. Probably not going to happen. All right, Indianapolis Colts, and Carson Wentz has sprained everything. I heard a really interesting thing out of Trent Dilfer, and he's like, it's a great thing because I've actually thought about this and used it in Analytics of Dynasty, which is like learn how to golf. And it was really interesting because when you sort of think about the like, hey, punch out, like, all right, you hit a bad drive, like take your bogey and move on. Don't make it a triple. And it was really interesting for thinking about Wentz, like just, you know, like just figure out a way to sort of get out of trouble, and he just doesn't do that. It was a really interesting comp, something I hadn't necessarily thought about with quarterback play, but it's something that I think about with Dynasty quite a bit. And we're sort of seeing that. So Wentz, you know, 2.92 seconds to throw. We're seeing him up to 8 yards per attempt, but get rid of the damn ball. He just holds onto it so long, gets him in so much trouble. One touchdown, one interception, one turnover-worthy play. One big-time throw, 0 turnover-worthy play, so that's good. But not a ton there in terms of production against pressure. 43.6% of the time he's pressured. Again, that is a quarterback stat. 4.9 yards per attempt. Clean pocket, 56.4% of the time, 9.4 yards per attempt. Throw the ball quicker. JT, kind of a struggle so far. 7 forced missed tackles on 32 carries. Not a ton there. Again, you got some influx going on with the offensive line and that sort of stuff too. 10 for 39 there for Nyheim Hines. The receiver position, like it's Pittman, it's Pascal, and it's Paris Campbell there. 28 routes compared to 85 there for Pittman, and Campbell's missed some time with injuries. Pascal 82. Pascal, like if you need a guy, running a ton of routes, so that's actually pretty helpful there. Basically a yard per route run, nothing super notable to write home to other than 3 touchdowns. That's pretty nice. Jack Doyle, 1.52 yards per route run, 85 yards on 56 routes. He is 12 targets, 8 receptions, 85 yards. You'll take that. He might be out there in a couple places like Adam. I definitely think that he is an ad guy this week. Mo Ali Cox has essentially done nothing. So that is where we are at. He's run 31 routes to Doyle's 56 and has 1 reception. Okay, through 2 weeks for Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville Jesus himself, 42 completions, 84 attempts, 5.4 yards per attempt, 4 touchdowns, that's okay, 5 interceptions, that's not good, 3 big-time throws, okay, 6 turnover-worthy plays, that's not good, 2.65 seconds to throw, clean pocket, 72.7% of the time. People like Burrow would really like that, you know, 5.8 yards per attempt. So that's not great. Under pressure, 27.3% of the time, 3.9 yards per attempt. Just not great. 22.7% play action, 6.7 yards per attempt. It's not good. So we'll see here as the season goes along. Maybe it gets better. You know, they get the Cardinals in week 3, and then you're actually going to get the Bengals on Thursday night, and then the Titans, who just got shredded up a bit, and then you get Miami, and that's a London game there in week 6. So and then you'll get a regroup in week 7. So yeah, you get some like maybe some better opportunities here after you know, after starting against the Broncos, you know, pretty good pass defense, and I guess Houston in week one, I wouldn't call them necessarily a great pass defense either, but I'm trying to be optimistic here. You know, as the situation goes along, maybe things will get better. Luke Farrell, 20 routes run this week, 11 for Manhurts, only 2 for O'Shaughnessy. So O'Shaughnessy there's some injury stuff with him. I don't think this is like a passing of the guard in terms of any of that, but definitely a disappointment if you played him. I know I had him in a couple leagues. I wish I knew that, you know, him being active meant 2 routes. I wish I had known that. 81 routes run so far for Marvin Jones, 19 targets, 11 receptions, 132 yards, 1.63 yards per route run, and, you know, in a 5.4 yards per attempt offense, that's pretty good. 15.1 ADOT. Chenault is 9 for 47, so an 8 out of 4.7, that's not good. Shark, 74 routes, that's just better than Chenault at 70. He's got a 105 in terms of through the air, so 1.42, that is manageable. But again, Marvin Jones, professional receiver. And the running game here, week two, after a split in week one, it's trying to back to James Robinson. 11 carries, 47 yards. He goes 3 for 3 in his targets to receptions, 17 yards, 22 routes. 2 for 7 for Hyde on the ground. He is targeted twice on 9 routes and no completions. So we'll see there on that ultimately going forward. Definitely interested in watching how this offense progresses. And next, the Tennessee Titans. And I'll say, like, go out there and you kind of know, listen, your season is in peril right now. Like, you have to go out on the road and win in Seattle, right, to really not go 0-2. Like, man, that's a haul, and they do it. I'll say this, the interesting thing about this game is Henry has run 36 routes so far this season. He's running back 1 so far. And I said this game, like this team, he's run 36 routes. It's 18 a game. Last year it was 223 over 16 games. So we're seeing almost a 50% increase in his routes. Just wild. And that is, I think, really opens up some additional ceiling for him if he's going to get this in the passing game. 2.06 yards per route run. Really good. Really good stuff here for Henry. So we like to see that. He just whoops up on Seattle. Only 3 carries for McNichols, but 28 routes. He's the clear injury away guy to me at this point. I think the demise of Ryan Tannehill has probably been over-exaggerated. 19th in terms of amount of clean pocket throws at 67%. That was similar to last year. He was 18th, so right in the middle there. In terms of yards per attempt, this year he's 10th at 8.3. Last year he was 3rd in terms of 9.0 yards per attempt from a clean pocket. This year he's actually 3rd in terms of PFF grade from a clean pocket. That's at 90.4. Last year he was actually better, 92.1, but 5th at the position. So be interested to see how those grades match up, if some of the concerns about last year's stats being overinflated, if that actually shows up in terms of how the grades overlap. 20th in terms of quarterback standing so far, only 1 touchdown despite being way up there at the position in terms of PFF grade. He's 6th overall in terms of PFF grade at 82 as a passer. He was 7th in PFF grade last year at 85.2. Again, some of that split there in terms of the grading stuff. Will be interested to see that. 1st overall in 2019 at 91. So relative to the position, he's actually between his 2 good years right now, closer to last year than his really, really good year in 2019. But I don't think that's the perception, at least as of right now. Wide receiver 47, A.J. Brown. Wide receiver 40, Julio Jones. 1 touchdown for A.J. Brown on 79 routes run so far, 92 yards, 7 receptions, 16 targets, 1.16 yards per route run. A healthy 16.7 ADOT there. 14 targets, 9 receptions, 157 for Julio Jones on 74 routes. Yep, 2.12 yards per route run. Just a beast. And hopefully we'll get some touchdown regression out of this offense. Like, let's go. Only one passing touchdown so far with Tannehill's really good grade. Like, we need a 4-touchdown, 32-attempt performance here to really right the wrongs that have gone on so far. So that's what we're hoping for. No clear beneficiary of Firkser being out. I think it's either you start Firkser or you don't at the position. All right, let's flip to the AFC West. And are we going to be wrong on Bridgewater? Because, like, I honestly, like, I hope so. And I don't mean that to be like, hey, I led you guys wrong. But, I mean, I've always liked the guy. But I never thought he was difference-making. What a division we have here in terms of the quarterback. We got Bridgewater, we got Carr, we've got Mahomes, and we got Herbert, right? I mean, and who would have thought coming into this that you would put the four of them together? Again, total difference in terms of Bridgewater versus Mahomes, obviously. But when you look at a group of four quarterbacks, it's tough to put four of them that are playing as well as they're playing right now together. Now, of course, given that I said that, people are going to start playing bad just because, you know, that's kind of what we do, is we jinx these guys. But, you know, when you ultimately look at the, you know, at the production here, you've got, you've got up at the top of the position in terms of like yards per attempt, for example, Mahomes at 4, Carr at 9, you got Herbert at 15, and Bridgewater is actually at 10, and we should bump all those up because there's Jordan Love's in there non-qualifying, so you got to bump up. So it's really, it really is, when you look at just the qualifiers, it's Mahomes at 4 at 10.1, Carr at 8.8, he's at number 8, Lamar is tied with Bridgewater at 9, and that's 8.5, and then you go down, and Herbert, the worst at the position in terms of yards per attempt at 7.7, right? So just, I mean, I don't think that's the order in which I would take them, but just crazy incredible. When you look at their actual grades overall, it's actually Mahomes he's the worst in the division in terms of grades by a pretty significant margin. So Carr is 4th in terms of PFF grade at 82.5. You go down to 10th with Bridgewater at 80.2. You go down just the next one down. Herbert is 11th at 77.9. And then they have Mahomes graded at 67. So, and you look at more, a lot more turnover worthy plays and big time throws is really what it ultimately ends up being. All that's to say, like, what an awesome division that you have in terms of the entirety of it. When you look at Bridgewater, best ADOT of his career at 9.9, his next highest was 7.9 in 2014. Just an incredible difference there. 3.1 seconds to throw, that's a lot. Don't necessarily love that, but 4 touchdowns to 0 interceptions, 3 big time throws to 1 turnover worthy play. Like, we're seeing a difference here in terms of how he's playing. So that's pretty good. At the running back position, like, it's Melvin Gordon doing a lot more over expectation. So 1.75 yards over expectation compared to 0.17 for Javonte Williams. When you sort of take it out, one of the things that I really look to do is I really like expected yards as a way to evaluate these guys. So take a look. What's the actual expectation for them in terms of where their performance is? 3.83 for Javonte Williams, right? So 3.83 would be his expected yards if he just basically got exactly what was blocked for him. 3.83 would be his expectation. 3.75 for Melvin Gordon. So he's got less in terms of expectation, and he's smashing him by a yard and a half per carry. So just gives you an idea, like, Javonte Williams, yeah, it's, you know, he's he's the next big thing, all those things, forcing missed tackles and all that stuff. That's all great, but he's not getting what, you know, is really expected of him. So I usually look at that and I say, hey, that's more of like a not seeing things, not running to the right places. He's breaking a ton of tackles, but it's not really getting him anywhere because he's basically, it's typically that he's running into, you know, that he's running into contact and that he's running to the wrong spots essentially and not seeing the best lanes and all that stuff. So Melvin Gordon, 42 routes to 25 for Javonte Williams. A big, robust difference there. Five receptions, five targets, 55 yards for Gordon. Two targets, two receptions, 6 yards for Javonte Williams. The big thing here, I mean, Fant's a dude. Yeah, I have a ton of questions about that. Sutton, 64 routes. Tim Patrick, 58. Hamler, 48 in terms of where they're at. Sutton, a robust 20 yards, 20.2 to be exact, of ADOT. 10 receptions on 15 targets, a .173, 2.7 yards per route run. So really strong performance there, a bounce back week for sure for Courtland Sutton. And then we'll see what happens with Judy. And just notably, Judy ran a ton in the slot. That's ultimately going to end up going to Hamler is where that transition ultimately occurs. Okay, let's go to the aforementioned Kansas City Chiefs. And not a ton here. Again, there I think we have some questions with some of the performance that Mahomes has got going on, but I think he'll be better. You know, it's like I think this matchup this week should be really interesting with the Chargers, for example. Like, again, it's no one's really concerned about it. I'm not certainly concerned about it. He's thrown for 680, six touchdowns and one interception. He's probably running a little lucky, right? So I wouldn't be super, super concerned about it, but I do think it's notable that he's probably underperforming his stat line. The receiver two situation is Hardman at 59 routes, Robinson at 45. They're basically the same guy, and it's not super helpful. And by way of reference, there's been 73 dropbacks for Mahomes. So you're seeing more for Hardman. It's not really doing anything. It doesn't much matter. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 43 routes to 18 for Darrell Williams, 6 for McKinnon. I think you can safely avoid McKinnon at this point. He's basically roster fodder. 27 carries for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 88 yards, 1.44 yards after contact per attempt for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the worst at the position. One more missed forced tackle. Just really pretty bad. So we'll look here and we'll see, you know, hopefully there's some growth, but I'm not super optimistic about how he's performed so far. We shall see in coming weeks. Again, I think he was on the right track sort of theoretically entering the season. I've never sort of been a true believer in his talent. There was much more acclaim in the rest of the dynasty community last year for him. You know, I sort of was like, hey, he's probably performed okay versus what we probably should have expected, even though we probably, the community at large, overexpected for him. I still have some hope that he's going to turn it around, and it's just a slow start, but it hasn't been good to start at all. Okay, Las Vegas, and Derek Carr's playing like a bona fide MVP candidate. I still, we can talk about Derek Carr all the days of the week, and I still can't get over how bad he is. And I'm a Derek Carr fan. It's worth noting I'm not doing this to dump on him or to poo-poo him. However, it is just unbelievable, his play-action splits. So they have gone to basically just not throwing play-action, which is kind of awesome. 90.1% of the throws, so just over 9 out of 10 throws, are non-play-action. That's 9 yards per attempt, 7th. At the position. When you look at play action, 6.4 yards per attempt, and that's basically just short of 10% of his throws. Just an incredible split there. 9 big time throws, 4 turnover worthy plays, 8.8 yards per attempt on 101 dropbacks, 62 completions, 93 attempts. And listen, he hasn't even really got it going with Waller yet. Like, that's the wild thing is Waller just hasn't really exploded. It's kind of amazing. When you look at the running back situations, this is just incredible. Like, what Carr is dealing with and doing is just insane. Peyton Barber, 13 for 32. You'd be like, okay, well, he's a plotter, right? Like, all right, 13 for 32. That's, you know, less than 3 yards per carry. Typical. 47 yards after contact. Let me repeat that. He goes 13 for 32, 47 yards after contact. So again, his average of after contact is 3.62, basically a full yard per carry more, right? A full yard per carry more after contact than before contact. Just incredible. Basically getting met in the backfield 1 yard deep is the first point of contact is basically what he's averaging. He's not alone. Kenyon Drake is 7 for 9, 15 yards after contact. So again, just an incredible number here. He averages just over 1 yard per carry, and he averages 2.14 yards after contact per attempt. He forces 3 missed tackles to accumulate 9 yards this week. Kenyon Drake forced 3 missed tackles. To accumulate 32 yards this week, Peyton Barber forced 5 missed tackles. Right? This isn't a them problem. It's an offensive line problem. So just for what it's worth with, like, Jacobs, you know, we could do the same thing with Jacobs. This is an offensive line problem in terms of creating running room for them. So just be cautious. Again, maybe, like, hey, that Leatherwood's hurt, Incognito's hurt. You know, you're getting some guys back, you got to mesh and all that stuff. I'm not necessarily concerned about these guys from a skill perspective. I'm concerned about it from, like, an offensive line, you just can't help them perspective. It doesn't matter really how good you are, how much you can do after contact. If you're averaging less than 3 yards per carry and you're, you know, basically more than a yard better after contact than your total, like, it's just totally swimming upstream. So that's going to be hard to ultimately, you know, salvage. 34 routes here for Edwards, 30 for Ruggs, and then you get Renfro goes 6 targets, 5 receptions, 57 yards. You know, it's interesting. This, and it's not how it has ultimately played out, but this one's an interesting one because on 6 targets, 9.7 ADOT for Renfro, on 3 targets, 7.7 ADOT for Edwards. So now you would think they're 12.3 for Ruggs. So these things tend to switch around a little bit. We'll see how these guys continue to develop. But, you know, you get some bigger performances out of Ruggs and Edwards. I think you can actually help Carr. Carr is one of those ones that it's be interesting. And I'll probably do some study on this later on in the week about some trade stuff with him because I'm interested in potentially acquiring him and making a pivot. Like, do you go Mayfield to Carr plus, right? Is that, like, something doable? Like, I think there's some of those types of deals that could be pretty interesting at this point. And just, it's worth noting, you know, Waller, I don't think he's, like, truly gotten all the way there yet. Basically the same percentage of routes he's been targeted on last year. So 26.7% of his routes he's been targeted on last year, 27.1% of his routes he's been targeted on this year. So basically the same performance. So it's just a little bit of the efficiency stuff is gone, but he's having a decent year. It hasn't gotten to full-fledged stardom quite yet. Okay, and last but not least, we've got the Chargers. And I'm excited as basically anyone can be about the Chargers versus Kansas City matchup. I think it's going to be fascinating, and I think you're going to see some really interesting stuff. Let's just put it this way. Mike Williams, full-fledged breakout, 2.28 yards per route run. His previous best in 2019 was 1.91, so getting a pretty robust increase there. It's going to be 27 in October. He is wide receiver 6 through 2 weeks. We're going to see a year 5 hit. Like, we're going to see another year 5 hit. We're going to do this thing. It's going to happen. Totally muddled backfield behind Eckler. So 4 carries for Jackson, 1 for Roundtree, 6 routes for Roundtree, 8 for Jackson. Again, just a totally muddled mess. I thought last week it was Roundtree. I don't know now. Like, it's that just kind of tells you where we're at. So I'm going to do a show on you know, confidence and all that stuff of the running back matrix and whatnot. But I don't have a great answer here. When I thought, you know, if last week you had held me down, you know, what do you think? I would have said Roundtree. I don't have a strong feeling on that now. Jalen Guyton's totally unusable, 35 routes. He's 2 for 13. Palmer is simmering, you know, 12 routes, 1.75 yards per route run. We'll take it. 24 routes for Donald Parham. I added him in a spot. I was like, I'm gonna like sneak in a developmental tight end. I got this. One target, zero reception, 0 yards. So that's that. Jared Cook, 13 targets, 8 receptions, 84 yards on 60 routes run. Like, you'll just keep accumulating. You'll take it. And hope here over the long run. So that, you know, that he'll get a little bit more touchdown action and, you know, that he's going to be basically viable, you know, fringe wide tight end one type production. So, and hopefully we'll get it going here out of Keenan Allen, a bigger full-on breakout. But this offense can really cook with Williams and Allen and Herbert giving it a go with Eckler. I mean, this could be really saucy as this thing goes on. So, all right, well, that's going to do it for this week 2 snap reactions. And I will have this out. You'll be listening to this on Wednesday morning. In addition, you will have running back, you know, the human hand grenade matrix rundown from me. And I'll also have, you know, a brief synopsis out on some waiver wire thoughts, basically a distillation, 10 minutes or so of these shows here. And so you can get it and act on your waiver wire. All right, well, that'll do it. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.